Well, that's really born out of real life, you know, because Nick was a visitor to New York, and that was the early days, and he was determined. He said he was, actually, he was walking down Central Park West on New York Street and looking at the buildings and seeing them as mountains and what he had to overcome. Right. And he was like, you know, he was like determined that New York was not going to do him in, and he was going to make it here somehow, even though, you know, the odds were certainly against a struggling songwriter. But he said the buildings really looked like mountains to him, and that's when the thought came, ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley. You know, that determination, which is probably what people feel, even though we turned it into a love song. But, you know, the energy and the initial thrust came out of that overcoming.
Okay, okay. Now, how did you and Nick like to write together? I know you play piano, and you're telling me Nick, you know, had ideas for lyrics. So was he more the lyricist and you more the composer?
Oh, for sure. He wrote all the lyrics. But then I have to say, he, in turn, because he was a great singer as well, we'd work on a melody, you know, and I'd do the music.
Right.
But we would work out, you know, what was a stronger melody line, you know, whatever. But so he did basically, I mean, there are a few songs I can think of that I, you know, that I might have had some input to lyric, but 90% of the lyrics were his.
Even like a female powerful anthem like I'm Every Woman, he came up with that idea?
I was playing that music, and we knew that Arif Ma didn't want a song for Shaka, and I started playing that music, and he just simply said, I'm Every Woman. And so I said, well, he said, but I don't know what this, I said, well, put your hand on your hip and just tap into your feminine side, and it'll come to you. And that's what he did.
okay, that's great. Now, on Ain't No Mountain High Enough, I mean, obviously, it was cut first by Marvin and Tammy, but then a few years later, became a huge, big hit for Diana Ross in a much different version with the spoken word and the strings. And so, how, you know, was that your idea or Nick's? Or who, how did that song, well, which was great for Marvin Tamm, become even bigger for Diana?
Well, it was a, you know, it had a lot to do with the times. People weren't doing three-minute songs anymore. Isaac Hayes had, you know, 7 and 8 minute songs, and
right.
So we wanted to test that theory a little bit, and we thought that was a good song that we could embellish, and we knew that Diane had a really sexy talking voice.
Okay.
So, you know, Nick wrote some additional speaking lines in the front, and we just extended in it and did it altogether different. You know, we were never afraid to change up an idea or try it another way.
Right.
So that seemed to fit that, you know, it worked well. As a matter of fact, Barry did not like the idea that we took so long to get to the hook. You know, he was very hook orientated.
And
so he, when we turned it in, he told us that we should, you know, we took too long to, you know, to finally, you know. But Nick told me, you know, it's like an orgasm. You know, you don't want it to happen right away. You want it's a build. You got to do it slowly. So he didn't want to put it out because we didn't change it. But the DJs picked it because they liked it. So we went out in the end.
Well, the DJs were right for sure.